Live Internet Talk Radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you close to the person that you want to be? Are you ready to know more, create more, live more, and love more? Welcome to Core to Grace, the Heart of Grace, with your host, Maria Rodriguez. We hope to inspire you, and by doing so, transform you for the good of all that is. Now, here is your host, Maria Rodriguez.
Hello, welcome everybody. This is Maria with Core to Grace, with a show that was actually titled by one of you listeners, The Whole Package. And throughout the course of the Core to Grace radio show, I've repeatedly heard from listeners how these past 12 shows are the skeleton for a book, a training program, e-courses, workshops, handbooks. I don't yet know what will in fact emerge from all of this. What I do know is that together, the themes that these shows represent make quite a package, maybe even the whole package, as that listener exclaimed. The whole package for our liberation, our personal liberation, and our collective one. My intention for today is to pull it all together in a big picture kind of way that will hopefully enhance each segment for everyone. What I realize is that the Core to Grace mission really conveys how three is better than one. All three parts of the mission are meaningful, impactful, and empowering in and of themselves. And yet the three put together is what makes it go pow. They work like strands of a braid woven together where one enhances the other, and especially in helping us get unstuck, which is always good. And so the first strand of our psychological development often triggers the second strand of our spiritual awakening, our psychological work helping in removing the blocks that stand between us and spirit. And at the same time, our spiritual awakening greatly assists our psychological development, where we gain even more access to the infinite resources of spirit to help in guiding us, supporting us, healing us, overall providing us with clarity and courage, compassion and confidence. Pretty nifty, huh? How each strand literally helps the other. And then there's the third strand, which is when we realize that we are all an integral part of the greater story of humankind, that there's a part that only we can play, that the world needs us, that in rising to a higher level of consciousness, we actually help others around us do the same without doing anything more than just being ourselves, that we can become a channel of grace for ourselves, our families, our communities, our workplaces, our government, that in other words, we can become a greater influence for the good of all that is. And in that same braid-weaving kind of way, this grand realization serves to further us both psychologically and spiritually, to further us in our lives. Does that sound like the whole package or close to it or what? And I hope you've come to see that from listening to the shows that all of this is grounded in our physical realities in the real life. There's no ignoring or minimizing the practicalities of our lives, our responsibilities, our challenges, our worries. The whole purpose is to bring to the physical realm the riches that we source from our travels to the realms of our psyche. And our example of this is how my husband and I, much to our surprise, inspired so many with the way that we handled the horrid and multiple medical crisis that we experienced with our second daughter when she was a baby. We had no idea the medical staff had been watching us. Our room was right across from the nurse's station, so they had free access to us every single day, until the resident told my husband on our last day there that they had rarely seen such an example of grace under fire and seamless teamwork. Can you believe it? I mean, that was the last thing we were thinking about. That's what a difference this whole package can make in anyone's life. So we're going to be going into more of how the last 12 radio shows have represented these three strands of the Core to Grace mission and how they are woven together to create one entity or one package, so to speak. But first, let me share what came to me as I was sitting in meditation, discerning how to present this today. I was led to an experience, surprisingly enough, that I had had at a workshop I attended last summer, an experience that I later realized provides a framework for our Core to Grace show today. But let me give you a bit of background so it makes sense to you. One of the most potent pieces of wisdom I received years ago now is about how critical it is for us to befriend death. Yes, death. Death as in the letting go of what is no longer aligned for us, what no longer serves us, both inside and out. It all began for me around 9 years ago when this phrase, loss, love, life, came to me with the help of some others. It's amazing what begins to happen when you and those around you begin to pay attention to the language of spirit, as I've been sharing these past several months on certain shows. And so back then, a colleague friend of mine, let's call her Catherine, and I had had years of fertility issues. And then lo and behold, we both become pregnant at the very same time. Our daughters are actually born 11 days apart. And during this particular couple of weeks, right around when they both were turning one, a picture began to emerge from seemingly random events that we would not have understood if we hadn't synthesized them together, linked them together, as I explained on that show. One of these events involves a haircut, of all things. I had had it with my longtime person, bless his soul. And so I go and get my haircut with a brand new hairdresser, and I'm sitting in the chair, she's cutting my hair, and you know, we're doing that kind of chit-chat that you do, and we get to the topic of my daughter turning one on Halloween. That's her birthday, and I can see that as soon as I say that, the hairdresser freezes. I can see through the mirror. And then she tells me, you can tell she's wondering whether to tell me or not, but she tells me that Halloween was the second anniversary of when she suffered a terrible loss. She had to undergo a surgery that made it impossible for her to ever bear a child. Very, very sad. And so a strange synchronicity right there for sure, that my daughter being born on October 31st, a year after she says goodbye to her ability to bear a child on that same exact date. But it wasn't until a strange conversation I had with another friend shortly after that the picture started forming. And we were led to think about and then discover that it was on Halloween 7 years earlier when she and the love of her life finally consummated their love physically after years of being separated. And so Halloween, October 31st, was now symbolizing loss, love, life. The loss my hairdresser suffered, the love that my other friend consummated, and the life of my little girl. And at the same time, Catherine's daughter also turned one on her birthday, November 11th, on Veterans Day, a day of many losses, losses of life and limb, as well as the more hidden losses of innocence and well-being that a veteran often suffers. And then yet another friend reminds me that November 11th was the date that she married. And so once again, loss of life shows up around my friend's daughter's birthday, this time Veterans Day, 11-11, 2 1-year-old little girls bringing with them quite a message. I can't describe the sacred power of that moment when this all came together in the kitchen booth of one of our mutual friends. It was quite a day. And this began to show us a divine connection between those three, loss, love, life. And then two subsequent client experiences anchored this all in. One client of mine had chosen this time to share with me this book she had been reading called Awakening the Heroes Within, 12 Archetypes to Help Us Find Ourselves and Transform Our World by Carol S. Pearson. According to Carol, the middle stage of our journey involves the seeker, the destroyer, the lover, and the creator archetypes within us. Archetypes, referring to constructs that have arisen through our evolution, that after constantly recurring, we all begin to almost like collectively inherit unconsciously. So it really is a wonderful thing to start understanding how these archetypes happen within you. And here, once again, you find the pathway of loss of life after the seeker within us is activated. The destroyer, which brings loss, paves the way for the lover, which of course brings love, and the creator bringing life. And to reinforce the accuracy and importance of this, shortly thereafter, another client of mine returns from a business trip to Asia, only to share with me an unexpected and life-changing told him that he or we must learn to embrace loss in order to experience gain. And so power phrases began to emerge from all of this. So these are some of the ones that came through. When we invite, welcome, and embrace loss, we open the way for greater love and higher life. We need to lose something to gain something. We must be willing to let go of what we're seeking, what we're holding, and what we're avoiding. So let me repeat them. When we not only accept, but also invite, welcome, and embrace loss, we open the way for greater love and higher life. We need to lose something in order to gain something. We must be willing to let go of what we're seeking, of what we're holding, of what we're avoiding. And it was probably, though, when a client shared an epiphany moment he had that my heart was deeply touched and my soul deeply moved by the power of this. He'd been going through a particularly dark time in his marriage that really deposited him into what many call the dark night of the soul. And this is when we're brought to our knees in despair and discouragement, being stripped to the bare bones, hitting bottom, leading, hopefully, though, to our ultimate surrender, as my client thankfully chose when he literally fell to his knees, wailing, supplicating, break me and remake me, just break me and remake me. And fortunately, we don't necessarily have to go through this dark of a night in order to experience the surrender that is wanting to happen. When we begin to accept loss as an integral part of the cycle of life, the cycle of our life, and as a necessary ingredient for our ascension and evolution, we begin the process of our surrender, which is also what enables us to reunite with our true nature, with our essence, with spirit, with the awareness of our connectivity to all that is. So loss in this context often refers to the depths of our old attachments to things like being right, winning awards, being attractive. It could be about the depths of old habits like interrupting, avoiding, judging, or self-berating, controlling, overgiving. The depths of our envy and greed, elitism and pride, rage and arrogance, passivity and shame. The depths of our addictions to alcohol, spending, fighting, work, and on. The depths of our limiting beliefs, those are wonderful depths. Like we're not good enough, we're not capable, we can't trust anybody, we don't deserve it. There's so much that we can be, that can lead to our liberation. And these necessary losses for higher life and greater love are external ones as well. They can involve leaving a job, even changing careers, like it did for me when I was guided to legally social work and take the leap into full-time private practice. They can involve ending relationships, even a marriage, changing our residence, ending our silence. Really, it's about saying goodbye to any part of our old ways and our old lives. And we also need to be willing as a group to let businesses die, to release previous standard practices that have become obsolete, to accept the loss of benefits that can no longer be afforded, to eliminate systems that just do not work well. So there is the personal lost love life for our own good, and then there's the collective lost love life for the greater good. And so we're approaching our first break of the day, and please tune in. There is so much more in this big picture, but also in continuing this wisdom about lost love life and in the story of the workshop that conveys so much more than I even realized until it came to me to share with you. So we will be right back after the break.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
What if you were willing to be controversial, choosing kindness instead of judgment? Willing to stand out from the crowd, being a leader in creating a new reality, even if others don't follow. You can make a difference. Start by tuning in to The Value of Controversy. Each week, our hosts will bring you the tools to help create the world that you want to live in and explore what's possible when you choose from the controversy of consciousness. Listen for The Value of Controversy every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Learn all about sexuality, science, and spirituality, and the connection between all three. Tune in to the Tantric Lounge with one of Australia's foremost sex therapists and expert in love and intimacy, Jacqueline Hillier. Our program is all about the art and science of sex for the thinker and explorer. Get more out of your sex life than you've ever imagined. Come visit the Tantric Lounge every Thursday at 5 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's sex like you've never experienced. Want the inside scoop about what's going on in the social networks of art and entertainment? Tune in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com. We'll talk to the top professionals in the entertainment industry and find out what they're working on and what's next. Your host is James Barber, who has his finger on the pulse of the arts and entertainment world. Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com, live every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is Coeur de Grace, the Heart of Grace, with Maria Rodriguez. If you have a question or comment for Maria, she can be reached via email at maria@coeurdegrace.com. That's maria@coeurdegrace.com. Now, back to Coeur de Grace.
Coming back, talking about loss, love, life, and the bottom line being that without loss, we cannot move forward enough, we cannot progress as much as we're capable of, and we cannot remain in alignment. And there's often unnecessary destruction the longer we hold on to what no longer serves, what's no longer aligned, what's no longer alive. This unnecessary destruction is opposed to the necessary destruction we're talking about here that actually enables our progression and evolution. The problem is that we tend to be quite averse to loss, to death, to destruction. I mean, the words are just terrible words. We want the flow, but not the ebb. It's far harder for us to downgrade than to upgrade. It's far harder to go against our current grain. So if we've been a go-getter, to stop go-getting, if we've been playing it safe person, to stop playing it safe. And a new power phrase came to me this week. It's a sobering one for me. When we say no to endings, we say no to beginnings. So when we say no to endings, we say no to beginnings. There are certain things that will never happen if we refuse to let some things go, and they can be losses that don't even seem related to the greater love and higher life that we're longing for. Like for me, the old Maria who played nice and pretty all the time was never going to bear a child. It wasn't until I said goodbye to that old character trait that I said hello to motherhood, that motherhood even became possible for me. And I've seen this happen countless times, I can't even begin to tell you. Sometimes it's saying no to a vacation or saying no to moving too fast, like our old pace. Sometimes it's pets we need to let go of, or even dirty nails or reading the newspaper. Really, truly, it can be anything, small, medium, or big, that we're being called to lose that will continue to stand in our way if we resist and we refuse. And overall, it's about accepting loss as an integral part of being able to travel, being able to move, being able to journey, being able to emerge. Change, change, change. A message that came to me through the number 555 after my mother died this past February. Change, change, change. And as I've become more and more of an illuminator, discerner for others of what loss is ready to happen for them, of what loss is needing to happen in order for them to move into that greater love and higher life, I found myself often the sole voice of that pathway, because who wants loss? And a powerful example was when a dear friend lost not one but both of her two beloved dogs completely out of the blue and 1 week apart. Can you even imagine that? A great, big, huge, double loss for her. I mean, it was awful, awful. And I was the only one in her entire circle not encouraging her to replace the pets, to get a new dog. And I could sense these losses were creating empty space for what was trying to be birthed in her life, space that would have been filled otherwise had she not had the courage and the willingness to withstand that pressure, to bear her grief along with the empty void left behind. And so this lost love life has become a knowing deep in the bone marrow of my being as related to individual persons and families and institutions and workplaces and political systems, and on it goes. It's as if I'm wearing a new pair of like X-ray vision glasses or something like that, or 4D, I call them sometimes. And yet already knowing the resistance that's often present when faced with these necessary losses, I resisted myself. The irony is that I've been less than willing to let go of the far easier path of pretending not to see and not to hear and not to feel and not to know. The far easier path of avoiding saying anything altogether, or if I do say something, to drop it once the tension and resistance and even anger arises. And yet I haven't been able to go back to the days when I was blind to all of this. In my counseling practice, I tell new referrals now that if they are seeking supportive counseling, a place where most of what happens is that they are heard and understood and cared about, which is a wonderful thing, I'm not the person for them. There certainly will be plenty of listening and understanding and caring, and yet what I do is really facilitate transformation, facilitate the shedding of their shells, shields, and shenanigans in order for them to become who they really are and live the life they're meant to live, playing the part in the world they're meant to play. Okay, I've never really said the shenanigans part to a new referral, but you get the picture. And yet, being overwhelmed with my life as a working mother of small kids, I can't even imagine taking this facilitator role on an even greater level than I already have been doing in my small circle with my clients and friends. And so the pull between sharing what I know, contributing in an even larger way, and the pull to keep my life at a more manageable size has created quite a struggle for me. And so imagine my relief when I came to learn about a man named Andrew Harvey. I stumbled upon an article he wrote in 1111 magazine. He's an amazing mystic scholar, founder of the Institute of Sacred Activism, who not only teaches but encourages with the most intense passion that we embrace the dark night of the soul, the shattering, the great and revolutionary deaths that we must not only allow and absorb, but even initiate so that we can get through the birth canal of our resurrection, is what he says, our individual personal resurrection and the resurrection of our world. A true kindred spirit of mine, being one of the few people I've heard espouse this truth. And in order to further convey this critical message, Andrew Harvey often recites the great Sufi mystic Rumi's poem, that reads as follows. The grapes of my body can only become wine after the winemaker tramples me. I surrender my spirit like grapes to his trampling so my inmost heart can blaze and dance with joy. Although the grapes go on weeping blood and sobbing, I cannot bear any more anguish, any more cruelty. The trampler stuffs cotton in his ears and says, I'm not working in ignorance. You can deny me if you want. You have every excuse. But it is I who am the master of this work. And when through my passion you reach perfection, you will never be done praising my name. There's great reward for us as a person and for us as a society in allowing the trampling, the shattering, the losses that prepare the way for the birth of a higher life and higher consciousness. Harvey, like many others, believe that the market crash of 2008, for example, is one of those great deaths that, should we listen to what it has to say to us, will result in a great birth. He describes sacred activism as being when the joy of compassionate service is married to a practical and pragmatic drive to transform all existing economic, social, and political institutions. A radical and potentially all-transforming holy force is born, a holy force that he calls sacred activism. And then my story gets stranger. I had given birth to my second daughter, Bianca, and only 5 days later, we rushed back to the hospital to have her undergo emergency surgery for a bowel obstruction. At 5 weeks old, we relive this, but to a far more horrible degree, when once again we rushed to the hospital, and once again her life was saved by the same surgeon who again just happened to be there. It's a miracle that she lived, and that she lived with her bowel intact, because she had one of the most dangerous types of twisted bowel conditions and had passed the number of hours of typical survival. So there we were once again with our tiny baby in ICU post-surgery number 2, and she was only 5 weeks old, and my husband and I doing shifts so that she was never in the hospital alone, surrounded, thank God, by the help and prayers of so many people. And one afternoon, my husband had come to relieve me. It was his turn to spend the night there, and I got home exhausted, never being able to sleep well at the hospital, as you can imagine, and going through our mail, when I stumbled upon a postcard for a workshop called Celebrate Your Life that used to be held every June near where I live. And I had attended it before because it was quite an amazing weekend-long conference that brought thousands of people, even from out of the country, to see a large number of renowned spiritual thinkers, teachers, healers. But never, ever, ever would I have imagined that I would be attending that year, my baby being in ICU, and our finances also being completely strapped by the 4 months of lost income from my unplanned maternity leave. And yet, I noticed Andrew Harvey was going to be there as a presenter. He had not been there the years before that I had gone. And I began to feel this crazy, compelling urge to go. And I called my husband at the hospital to run this crazy idea past him, especially since it would entail not only expenses we couldn't afford right then, but also my going away for a weekend, leaving him alone with a newborn with medical issues. And even crazier than my even having the idea in the first place was that he actually insisted I go for it right away. In less than an hour, I was registered for the conference with a hotel room reserved. And this all happened on June 12th of 2011. My final workshop of the weekend-long conference was Andrew Harvey's. And I've attended countless workshops as a result of being a licensed clinician where I must have a certain number of continuing education units every year. And so you know how we tend to have a favorite place we prefer to sit? I'm one of those sit in the back of the room or at the very least in the back half of the room kind of person. And this time, a very strange thing happened. As soon as I step foot into the room for Harvey's workshop, I'm pulled by a force to the very front row, almost smack in the center, in the first seat just left of the middle aisle. I have never in all my years, 26 years, have sat in the front row. Harvey begins to tell us the story of Rumi's life, that Sufi mystic, about how Rumi was willing to lose his security, his status, his power for a greater life on a divine level. And it was so emotional for me. I begin to weep in gratitude and relief that here was someone who was conveying this message in a far larger way, reaching far more than I could ever hope to reach. Thank you, God. And then at the end of the workshop, when he opens it up to question and answer, I raise my hand slightly to express all those feelings. Quite uncharacteristic for me, as I'm also one of those that tends to stay quiet in workshops. So I was really out of my nature. And only because I was sitting right in front of him does Harvey notice me, kind of raise my hand halfway. But a man to the right speaks up before Harvey can signal me to speak. So the man asks him where people like him who are ready to become sacred activists can find others who are ready. And in the space of a minute, it all went downhill. At least for me it did. The man and Harvey appear to engage in what I call of that fiery us versus them shadow. So it's like, yes, let's join forces to overthrow the big bad corporation or the big bad government. And the shadow tendency that we all share is filled with black and white thinking, oversimplifying and overgeneralizing. I'm all good. Those of us over here are all good. And they over there are all bad. And I just then become overwrought with dismay. I mean, shock and dismay, really. And my tears of joy at the level of Harvey's incredible power to motivate us to embrace these necessary deaths, where I've been the sole voice in my world about that message, in the drop of a dime become tears of heartbreak about this darker, destructive energy that's now filling the room. Well, wouldn't you know it, Harvey didn't forget about me. So he turns to me to signal to talk, and I'm completely flustered and begin with what I had originally wanted to share, the depth of my relief and gratitude about all this, and that I had been doing in my own small way, in my own small world, the same thing. And with that, he motions for me to stand up and turns me to face the audience and says to them that he hates when people talk about being small, and then turns to me with his arm around me and says, Mother Teresa was smaller than you, and look at what she did. She saved the world. And so I say, okay, so in my own large way and my large world, you know, kind of joking, and then I turn to him, also glancing at the man who had spoken before, and say in a teary yet passion-filled voice, and yet please, 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 before you take on the world, please do this work on yourself. Face those parts of yourself, releasing their power first. And before I could say more, Harvey interrupts me, scoffing, and says, we don't have 10 years to spend in therapy. This work must be done now. Well, I just sit down, dejected, tears still coming down my face, thinking to myself, oh my God, I can't depend on anyone else. I'm going to have to do something too. When I feel a tap on my shoulder, in surprise, I turn around to see a man who had attended the workshop, squatting in the aisle, looking me straight in the eyes with truly the eyes of an angel. And in this soft voice, he says, I wanted to thank you for what you said. My eyes widen and I say, oh my God, you don't know what a gift you're giving me. And he nods his head and says, I know you didn't realize it. So we, and he motions to a whole group of men and women that I only then notice are standing in the back of the room, listening and watching us intently. He says, so we wanted you to know that although he didn't hear you, we did. And we thank you so much for what you said. By this time, I'm just completely discombobulated. I had ridden this deep roller coaster of emotions so inspired and encouraged by Harvey's passion and then so devastated by what had happened and so shocked at the realization that I couldn't still sit still and not do my part. And then moved by this man and his group's affirmation of my message, I walk out into the throngs of people in a trance, and a woman who recognized me from standing in the front of the room with Harvey jokingly asked me, so how are you and your large self doing? And then she sees my face streaked with tears and the faraway look in my eyes and mumbles an apology and rushes off the poor woman. I then run into someone I know who looks at me alarmed and asks, what the heck happened? And I can't even speak, so I say, I'll tell you later. And we wander to the vendor booths where she wants to do some shopping, and still lost in all of what's happening, I reach blindly into a large glass bowl filled with these little pillow sachets, and wouldn't you know it, I pull out the one that says, Live a Big Life, capital letters B-I-G, Big Life. Wow. Doesn't that story say it all? It's crazy, crazy, crazy from beginning to end. So crazy. And so here I am living a far bigger life on a World Talk Radio Network, hoping that I've inspired all of you to embrace transformation, your own first and then the world's, to underscore the importance of what was coming to me that day, not one, but two of my clients send me quotes that reminded them of me, not even knowing about what had just happened. One was by Dr. Sonia Friedman, who I had never heard of before, a radio and TV talk show host, psychologist and author. She says, quote, it's possible to mend our world only by finding the courage to mend ourselves, end quote. And the other is from Lao Tzu, a philosopher generally credited for the classic Chinese text, the Tao Te Ching. He says, first, we must do our own personal work. Then we tend the necessary work of our family, then our community, then the world. So mending ourselves and doing our own personal work first, and then and only then are we ready to do our part in mending our world, in doing the necessary work for each of our circles of influence layer by layer, also for the purpose of playing our part in the necessary work of this larger scope mending of the world, that sacred activism that Andrew Harvey so passionately encourages us to engage in now. And by the way, this experience I shared with you today in no way serves to diminish Harvey's incredible work, his incredible wisdom, and his incredible influence. I'm not sure what happened that day since I've heard him since, and he seems to teach this very thing that I was trying to impress upon him and the group that day. Maybe it was just coming from his fear that we'll take forever dilly-dallying in the landscape of our inner world, our you know, self-absorption in a way, while our outer world is falling apart, which is a truly valid concern, which I actually certainly share. But for me, that concern is secondary to my concern of unleashing more deadly, divisive fanaticism into the world. And I'm more than anything grateful to Andrew. Through him, I reclaimed my courage and my passion and received quite a message to take action, sacred action. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Court to Grace when we return.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in to the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things. And together, you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite twice every week, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety and on the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific.
This is Coeur de Grace, the Heart of Grace, with Maria Rodriguez. If you have a question or comment for Maria, she can be reached via email at maria@coeurdegrace.com. That's maria@coeurdegrace.com. Now, back to Coeur de Grace.
Hello, this is Maria with Coeur de Grace. I'm hoping we've been having a little bit of connection trouble today. I'm hoping that the story was conveyed. I was finishing a very strange experience that I had at a workshop, and I've been wondering about why I was led to share this particular story today on this The Whole Package Show, and my sense so far that it's in part about establishing the larger picture, that all of this is not only for ourselves, it's also for our planet, for our world, and it's for now and for future generations. And I also see how it's a vibrant example of the three strands of the Coeur de Grace mission. You see in the story of this workshop example and the loss of life that preceded it, examples of my personal transformation, my shadow tendency of becoming overwhelmed and reluctant to do my part. And then you see me transcending that barrier bit by bit, enabling me to do the show for one. And you see examples of my leading a spirit-driven life all over the place, being guided to attend this workshop that I, on more than one level, had no business attending. And you can see how much I was meant to be there, given what happened. And you see my willingness to step outside of my comfort and preference zone in many ways. And another example of personal transformation, where we're never going to be within our comfort and preference zone, including where I sat at the workshop and raising my hand, which is what aligned the stars for what happened to happen. And you see how I've become part of a community of people that pay attention to the signs and signals from spirit that bring us personal guidance like these, and also universal higher wisdom like the loss of life bit. And you see the presence of the divine in unexpected places, like when that man, or an angel as I call him, made sure to thank me at the end to let me know that it wasn't for naught. And you see the larger picture of what Harvey is so in touch with, the desperate need for us to participate with passionate and compassionate action in the transformation of our world, our institutions, our moral fiber, where great deaths can lead to great rebirths. So let's pull it all together. We begin with the importance of our psychological development as a foundation, especially that of breaking our toxic shame cycles, healing, and freeing ourselves and our relationships. Just the willingness alone to break free can lead us into the cave of transformation, establishing that our transformation, which cannot happen without loss, is a natural impulse that we have to mature, to evolve, to emerge, to express, similar to how a butterfly naturally emerges from the caterpillar or an oak tree emerges from an acorn. We too have a truer, fuller, higher self just waiting to be expressed, should we have the courage to let go and let it happen, to actively participate in it happening. And yet most of us have barriers standing in the way resulting from trauma in our childhood, struggles in our jobs, marriages, families, financial insecurity, and on and on. Thus the need for this psychological work as a foundation. And already in that broad sense, seizing enough of the strategies we use to avoid our toxic shame can clear the space so that we can get in touch with that natural impulse to transform and evolve. And conversely, experiencing the restlessness and irritability that we so often experience when we're not evolving, when we're not allowing this natural impulse, can be just the motivation we need to break our toxic shame cycles. So we have two of the 12 Court of Grace radio shows right there serving this part of the mission, assisting with this fundamental psychological development. And there are, of course, many more themes that we haven't gotten to, and most notably, that of doing our shadow work, which primarily involves becoming aware of our blind spots, our incongruencies, our security blankets, and the hidden aspects of ourselves that we dislike, that shame us or scare us. What I was pleading at Harvey's workshop to do first, so that when we become activists, we're free of this deadly force, which only becomes deadlier when we join forces with others who have yet to do this work as well. And we've integrated enough of our shadow, broken enough of our toxic shame cycles, healed enough of that toxic shame, undergone enough of our transformation, we have healthier relationships. And we can be clean, clear, and complete in our communications, which inspire cooperation rather than conflict, which avoids and resolves problems, making our lives so much easier. And remember that using the strategies I shared on the show on those three C's of healthy communication actually assists us in our psychological development, growing us from the outside in, which is so exciting that that can happen. And next we have the second strand, the pathway of leading a spirit-driven life, beginning with the sins we can choose, synchronicity and synthesis, interpreting the signs and symbols, like those meaningful coincidences that spirit uses to communicate with us, helping us make better decisions that move us into alignment. That great mother of ours was a show to honor and welcome the divine feminine in communion with the divine masculine. And the Magnetize Me show with Susan Sack taught us the power of magnetizing spirit, magnetizing guidance and shadow and energy and intentions and essence. We're also encouraged to use our imaginations and intentions to adopt, amend, and create rituals, which are a supercharging resource for us. And we didn't yet get to the circle way, which is really a critical part of leading a spirit-driven life, developing twosomes and threesomes and foursomes, and etc., small groups of any size that are partnerships for our accelerated evolution. They're amazing. That's why I do so many circles, offer them in my practice. And all of these paradoxically providing divine assistance with our psychological work while at the same time becoming more possible as we do that psychological work, which illuminates and clears out the blocks that prevent us from attaining and sustaining a connection to spirit within us, between us, and around us. Three of the shows blended the psychological and spiritual focus even more. One was last week's show, Freedom Through Forgiveness, with Susan Weishart, where we learned a powerful energy psychology method at the same time that we learned about soul visioning, soul forgiveness, and about past life and life between life regressions, all of which hold a far broader spiritual perspective that can make all the difference when we're stuck. And then there was Manifestation Through Transformation and Through Leading a Spirit-Driven Life. The title alone saying it all, that it's both a psychological and spiritual blend that helps us manifest the life that we really long to live. And the I Choose Trust show, which encourages us to become more and more trustworthy in being true to our wisest, highest selves. Trusting less those parts of us and others that are not trustworthy, and trusting more the process, the guidance we're always receiving. Wow, that is a lot. I mean, that is 12 shows, 3 months worth. And you can see why this listener said, my goodness, it's the whole package. And we haven't even gotten to the third strand. The third strand, which is the one of the purpose. So we have the foundation of our psychological work, the pathway of leading a spirit-driven life, and then this larger purpose of assisting with the greater good, of exuding the power of grace in the world, of bringing soul qualities like truth and love in equal measure, which is the theme of the show launch, of the Court of Grace show launch, and to bring those soul qualities wherever we tread. These soul qualities assist us in our personal transformations and deepen our relationship and reunion with spirit. And so it's connecting to that larger purpose actually helps us in our personal everyday life and our relationships and our emotional health, our physical health, spiritual health. And in deepening that relationship and that sense of being one with spirit, sense of being worthy, which is what's missing in our toxic shame, that we don't matter enough or that we're not good enough in the way that we are. And in communicating with spirit, because in leading a spirit-driven life, you know, what we're doing there is we are recognizing that there is what Tama Keeves, and I've said this before, calls like the infinite resources of a loving ally that is invested in our evolution and our well-being. It's amazing how we can make decisions in completely new ways when we deepen that relationship and communication with spirit, where we're shown what is aligned with our divine path. And all of this helps us become more of an influence for the good of all that is. Whether it's in our work, you know, it's just amazing to me to hear story after story after story from my clients and my colleagues and my friends that talk about how when they made a personal transformation, when something shifted within them, they began seeing shifts in their outer world, with their families, with their bosses, with their coworkers, with, you know, in other community groups. That it's amazing the power of influence that we can become, even without, as I said earlier, even without intending to do so, just by showing up in this new way. You know, people will notice. It hasn't just happened to me. It's happened to so many where somebody says, you know, it's kind of like that Meg Ryan, Billy Crystal movie where the lady says, "I want what she has. You know, can you give me what she has?" It's kind of like that. It's like, people notice that something is changing within us when we do this personal transformation kind of shift. And then finally, there was a show that was so sacred for me, I could barely get through it. The one where I share for the first time publicly my treatise, From Barriers to Bridges. From Barriers to Bridges. And that treatise is still teaching me so many things. If you haven't heard it, you may want to definitely hear that one. I am planning to have the treatise available, at least in a booklet form, if not an ebook kind of form, and to create those power phrases that are in the treatise into objects that can help remind us and cue us, you know, things like paperweights or magnets or t-shirts and things like that, because that there's so much in there. I was meeting with an artist friend of mine that I'm collaborating with, and I had gone in my tote to pull out the printout of the treatise, and just printing the treatise, I mean, bringing it out and putting it on the table between us, it almost felt alive. It's kind of funny to say, it's kind of kooky to say, but really that's the absolute truth. It takes, I hadn't even looked at it. I haven't, you know, I had just brought it out and put it on there so we could talk about these projects that we're going to be doing with it, and it almost felt like it was breathing. It was alive. It is so, the paradigm shifts in there are truly amazing. It's something that's going to take me a while to absorb and to grow into and live into. It's so easy for us to lose our way in a sense, you know, in our best intentions, you know, kind of get lost. And yet there's something about these three strands. That's what I was getting. You know, I've learned something from every single show I've done. And there's so much of what I'm sharing with you that I've taught before. I've taught either to individual clients, to circles. Some of my circles are to workshops of therapists and things like that. And I still learn every time I teach, and every show I've done has given me a new appreciation. Something new has come in. Like even this one, as I said, I had not only the old power phrases that came years ago with the loss of life, but even the new one of when we say no to ending, we're saying no to beginnings. When we say no to endings, we say no to beginnings. That was new. And similarly, what I've learned so much from doing this show is how these three strands have made the difference in my life and in the lives of everybody that I touch as a model for them and as a helper for them. That knowing the larger purpose helps us, you know, in our everyday challenges. And the spiritual, beginning to connect on that spiritual level, helps us. And doing the psychological work helps us connect to spirit and to that larger purpose. It's like amazing how interwoven this is. And that treatise, that vision of infinite possibilities that exists for us personally and for the things in our world that aren't going well, that are examples. There are many things that are going well, but we're talking about the things that aren't. And so it's been my supreme pleasure to host this show, to share so many of the goodies that have blessed my life. I cannot thank you enough for joining me, for listening, for responding, for giving me feedback, for being willing to be inspired and transformed, for being willing to be shifted and uplifted. And I'm going to close with an excerpt from another one of my writings. It's called Little Book for the Soul, another thing I'm hoping to have available. Little Book for the Soul, and here's what it says. When we begin to flow and to flow with the flow, we begin to fly. And the more we flow, the more we glow. The more we flow, the more we fly. In the flow glow, I fly. So this is Maria Rodriguez at Court of Grace. Until next time, with the grace of truth and the joy of love to all. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting Maria into your life this week. Please join us for another edition of Cours de Grace next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We'll continue your transformation one program at a time.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.